Let us pray. Holy Father, we're mindful of this text and scripture that tells us to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We thank you for this, Lord God, and grant that we would be faithful to do this. And we know that this will solve many of life's dilemmas. To remember to rejoice for our salvation and your kindness to us, to pray continuously in all situations, and to be thankful and to remind ourselves of what you have done for us in the past, what you're doing for us now, and what you shall do for us in the future. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Certainly we should give thanks. One of the things we should thank God for, of course, is this common weal, this new world, this country that we were privileged to be citizens of. If you're like most Americans, you weren't told the whole story of the first Thanksgiving. It's not the one that children hear in our government schools or even in popular American culture. God and his wonderful providence are left out. But here's what really happened. In 1620, 102 pilgrims, separatists from the Church of England, sailed west across the Atlantic aboard the cramped 100-foot Mayflower in a voyage that, if compared with today, would be like a trip to the moon. For 66 days, they lived in an ill-lit, close-quartered, rolling, pitching, stinking, overheated below decks. The hatches battened down, the smell of the bilge in their nostrils, and the crew hostile towards separatists. That's what they were called. Cloistered in a space the size of a volleyball court, 102 people, with their spiritual leader, William Bradford, endured the unendurable. Why? Because they wanted to worship God without the onerous legalistic restrictions imposed on them by England, and to prevent their children from losing their English identity. 10 years before, they had left England for Holland. And they would have been content to live there, except for the fact that their children were becoming like perfect little Dutch children and losing their cultural identity. And so they took this voyage. On the voyage over, just two people died. One was a crew member who repeatedly mocked the pilgrims until one day he died. And that silenced the rest of the crew for the rest of the voyage. And the other, because he refused to drink lemon juice, as he was ordered to do. And so he died of scurvy. They were en route to the mouth of the Hudson River. This was a huge swath of territory extending from Virginia all the way to New England. And this whole territory was called the Virginia Plantation. It was uninhabited by Europeans in near absolute wilderness. But it was claimed and peopled by a hostile Indian tribe, by many hostile Indian tribes, in fact. If they had landed where they were supposed to land, they would have certainly been slaughtered. But they were blown off course by hundreds of miles and forced to land in a place known today as Massachusetts, in a region where, unknown to them, no tribe lived because all the tribes surrounding feared the land was cursed by a great spirit who had wiped out the former inhabitants, the Pawtuxets. The Patuxas were feared by their neighbors as one of the most ferocious and savage of the Indian tribes. And they had killed every white settler and explorer that they ever encountered. In the spring of that year, a single Patuxet named Squanto arrived at the pilgrim camp and said in perfect English, "Welcome, Englishmen. Do you have any beer?" Squanto's entire tribe had been wiped out by disease while he was a prisoner on a ship bound for England years ago. From the English, he had been rescued by Spanish friars who taught him the rudiments of Christianity. And then he somehow managed to return to his homeland, intending to join his tribe, rejoin his tribe. But when he returned, he found them all dead, and he wandered into the region of the Wampanoags. Now, the Patuxets hated the Wampanoags, and yet the Wampanoag chief, whose name was Massasoit, decided to spare Squanto's life and let him live among them. What are the odds of that? When Chief Massasoit was told by Squanto of the arrival of these pilgrims, he sent him back to them with a man of his own tribe named Samoset, one of his own braves, in order to find out more about them and how they dared to live in this region that was cursed by this great spirit. When both Squanto and Samoset reported back to the Wampanoag chief what they had seen and heard, Chief Massasoit decided to show mercy to the pilgrims, likely because he feared this great and unknown spirit who was protecting them. Chief Massasoit instructed Squanto to help the pilgrims. The pilgrims knew next to nothing about survival in the American wilderness. They didn't know how to plant or hunt or fish except from their experience in Europe, and this certainly wasn't Europe. They would have likely starved to death in the first year. But Squanto taught them how to refine maple syrup and make popcorn and to fertilize the soil and to trap and trade in beaver pelts and with the surrounding tribes. In short, he taught them how to become economically successful in the new world, in the wilderness. And at the end of the second year there, by order of their governor, William Bradford, who quotes from this Psalm 107 that we read, he ordered a day of thanksgiving. And this was proclaimed in the autumn. And Bradford invited Chief Massasoit to celebrate with them. When Massasoit came, he brought more than twice as many tribesmen with him as the remaining pilgrims. Some of the pilgrims had died by then. But fortunately, he brought his own food as well. He arrived a day too early and he stayed 3 days too late. He was the guest who wouldn't go home. And he enjoyed himself immensely. And so a day of thanksgiving was extended to 3 days. There were foot races, there were games, shooting matches, sports, and the public giving of thanks to God, this great spirit that Massasoit so feared. And there, they thanked God for Massasoit's kindness, too. And it was here that the Wampanoags heard the gospel of Jesus for the first time. That's from The Light and the Glory by David Marshall and Peter Manuel. The Light and the Glory. Did God have a plan for America? When I was a little boy in third grade, in the year after they took prayer from school, my teacher, Mrs. Helen Hunt, made us all memorize this Thanksgiving poem, and I still remember parts of it today. It's called The Landing of the Pilgrim Fathers in New England by Felicia Hemans, 1793-1835. The breaking waves dashed high on a stern and rock-bound coast, and the woods against a stormy sky, their giant branches tossed. and the heavy night hung dark, the hills and waters o'er, when a band of exiles moored their bark on the wild New England shore. Not as the conqueror comes, they, the true-hearted, came. Not with the roll of the stirring drums and the trumpet that sings of fame. Not as the flying come, in silence and in fear. They shook the depths of the desert gloom with their hymns of lofty cheer. Amidst the storm they sang, and the stars heard, and the sea, and the sounding aisles of the dim woods rang to the anthem of the free. The ocean eagle soared from his nest by the white waves' foam, and the rocking pines of the forest roared. This was their welcome home. There were men with hoary hair amidst that pilgrim band. Why had they come to wither there away from their childhood's land? There was woman's fearless eye lit by her deep love's truth. There was manhood's brow serenely high and the fiery heart of youth. What sought they thus afar? Bright jewels of the mine, the wealth of seas, the spoils of war? They sought a faith's pure shrine. Aye, call it holy ground, the soil where first they trod. They left unstained what there they found, freedom to worship God. An interesting historical note here. Governor Bradford, the first governor of this plantation, saw their passage, the passage of the separatists, as similar to events that occurred in Exodus that Psalm 107 commemorates. And his passage of the Plymouth plantation, he quotes this. He says, "May not and ought not the children of these fathers rightly say, our fathers were Englishmen which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in this wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord, and he heard their voice and looked on their adversity." It's from Deuteronomy. "Let them therefore praise the Lord, because he is good and his mercies endure forever. Yea, let them which have been redeemed of the Lord show how he has delivered them from the hand of the oppressor. When they wandered in the desert wilderness out of the way and found no city to dwell in, both hungry and thirsty, their soul was overwhelmed in them. Let them confess before the Lord his loving kindness and his wonderful works before the children of men." So let us give thanks. Holy Father, grant that we also would see your blessed hand of providence in all that we do, and the protection and care that you have given to us, undeserving as we are, except by the mercies of Christ. In his name we pray this. Amen.